and the weather. Highs of 13 degrees centigrade, lows of 6 degrees centigrade. It's going to be a mainly dry day with warm, sunny spells.
Emma Tinson, Eva MacDonald and Jessica Ward have clearly marked out their skills as Premier Midweek Drivettes. Time now for Claire Margerison, Mary Dancy and Tessa Snart to step up to the mark.
It's keeping the pressure going, Jane, as I'm sure you'll agree that, you know, there's some bar that you sort of reach and you need to ensure that's there all the time. Dr. Cooper seems to be on voicemail, which is not good for interviews and interactivity, really, because once he's actually... He did send an email saying, yes, all's well with the world, but maybe he's been time-travelling and doing all sorts of other bits and pieces. It's still... He's at the Royal Geographical Society, so we'll just sort of see whether, indeed, he picks up now, whether we have to sort of rearrange schedule and take something completely differently on the whole thing. Well, you know, once again, it's ringing, which is all good. Will we go to voicemail? Will we not? It's the uncertainty that makes life really interesting here. 3 minutes past 9 o'clock on...
Hello, this is Jago Cooper. Yeah. Please leave a message.
It's a voicemail.
Dr.
Cooper, this is Alex Lefchuk from Siren FM's Midweek Drive Morning Edition. We had hoped to be doing a live link with your good self. We'll try again possibly later in the programme. Yeah, hopefully we'll get things sorted out from that point of view, because otherwise we're going to have several very disappointed midweek drivers. Never mind. Hopefully we will return. That's the important thing. Meanwhile, life continues. We will probably actually focus on the Beverly Jazz Festival in a few moments' time. Are you a jazz person at all, Jane?
I'd like to know more about it.
Well,
about the Beverly Jazz Festival.
Precisely. And we'll find out more about experiencing a true celebration of rural Lincolnshire with an eclectic mix of breathtaking entertainment, food, shopping, music and other delights.
When all my dreams are scattered to the wind, I'll begin again, and you're the reason why. When all my friends no longer know my name and say I'm not the same, I know that I'll get by. As long as there's you at the end of... care if there is you at the end of it all. There is nothing I can do. I may stumble, I may fall. I won't care if there is you at the end of it all. At the end of it all. At the end of it all.
And we've just heard that Dr. Jago Cooper is actually on a different contact number, which we'll speak to in a few moments, because it's a delight to actually welcome to the programme for his debut, jazz festival organiser extraordinaire. And yes, you're quite right, Jane, to actually say jazz is just getting more and more popular, if it's ever been unpopular, really. John Watterson. John, good morning. How are you?
Hello, good morning. Good morning.
Delighted to touch base with you. I'll do a quick introduction because we've lost some of the midweek drivettes who've headed off to do things like shorthand and TV stuff and so on. We've got Hannah Brown, Level 1 journalist student from indeed the delights of Essex.
Hello.
To be precise, Harwich. Mary Dancy, ace a Level 3 English undergraduate and possibly sort of keen SF fan as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Claire Margerison, also Level 3 English graduate to be.
Hello.
And the director, of course, of the fantastic Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, head of the ultimate supremo, I like to think, Jane, of the Lincolnshire Event Centre. That would be Jane Southall.
Hello, good morning.
So share with us this jazz festival that's going on. There are a lot of things happening, and it's in Beverley, I believe, John.
Well, it is, but it's a folk festival, not a jazz festival.
Well, let's get into folk festival. This is the... you see...
although I am a jazz fan, and therefore I've insisted on there being some jazz at Beverley Folk Festival.
I knew it would come in somewhere
along
the line.
We've got a group of young lads, well, at my age, everybody under 60 is a young lad, but a group of youngsters from New Orleans who are coming over. They're called the Roaming Jazzmen. And they are absolutely superb. So there will be a jazz element at Beverley Festival, but the Beverley is essentially a folk festival. But we have a pretty broad definition of folk, which includes folk, but it includes also a bit of rock. Rhythm and Blues, we've got The Animals and Friends, for those who remember House of the Rising Sun and all that sort of stuff. We've got Lindisfarne, for those who remember Fog on the Tyne, but we've also got a whole host of younger musicians. Beverly has had a long tradition. We've been in existence for 30 years. This is my first year of involvement with them, and I'm proud to be involved. But they've had a long tradition of developing young musicians from a very early age, from the children's tent, where people, the youngsters can just come and sort of participate and get involved in percussion and that sort of thing, right through to launching some major folk acts onto the national stage. So it's a really, really broad range of acts and ages and literature and poetry and comedy and all sorts of stuff we have going on at Beverley in the middle of June.
This is the 33rd annual Folk Festival, of course.
It is.
So it's been going for 12 years more than Merry Dancey's actually been on the planet. So that's nice. So that might be. And as you say, it takes place on June the 17th and the 19th.
17th, 18th and 19th,
there we
that's
are.
Right.
17th, 18th and 19th. So good news, Jane, you see. People can actually use the Beverley Folk Festival as a little precursor,
a warm-up
for the Lincolnshire show, because we like to ensure, John, that we have complementary festivals that we promote here on the Midweek Drive Morning
what's
Edition.
What's the date of the Lincolnshire one?
It's the 22nd and 23rd of June.
Oh, fantastic, yes. Well, we do have an open stage, a village stage as well, and we do welcome people to come along and surprise us and entertain us. So as well as all the programmed events, there are opportunities for people to come along and perform.
I think William Sitwell appreciates the fact that one could have actually decoded John referring to the city of Lincoln as a little village there, but it's okay.
It's all right.
We know in Yorkshire everything's so big, even Beverley's a lot bigger than that. They've got a wonderful Minster there. It's not as high as the cathedral in Lincoln, but there we are. It's not competitive. Let's just work on this. You rightly sort of said, John, that there's lots of sort of things that are working through on this particular basis. I mean, Mike Hardy, of course, festival patron. Beverley is one of his favourite festivals ever, small enough to have a friendly, cosy atmosphere, and yet big enough to book the very best in folk and roots music. And as you rightly say, it's also taking place at Beverley Racecourse, I believe.
That's right. Well, I think this is the third or fourth year of involvement at the racecourse, and it just gets bigger and bigger. And the racecourse is just such a fabulous venue, because it just allows us to flex each year and try different things. We're not limited by an indoor arena, so we've got as well as the main stage marquee, which takes about 1,200 people. We're introducing a new venue this year called the Big Top. It's Big Circus Big Top, which will be another major venue. But we also have smaller rooms inside the racecourse itself for perhaps more niche things, some poetry, some literature, some workshops going on. So we've got a massive range of different venues that we can flex each year to introduce different sorts of music. We've got a whole Americana section going on this year with wonderfully named musicians. We have the Buffalo Gals Stampede. And we have the Goat Roper Rodeo Band and Billy Lee and the Swamp Critters. I mean, how could you not want to go and see them?
I'm looking at the
just for the name.
I'm looking at the line. You've even got Joe Broughton's Conservatoire Folk Ensemble. You've also got somebody who performs for a band who once did an ident for the Midweek Drive, which goes something like this.
Look at the person in the car next to you. Are they smiling? No. You can help. Simply wind down the window and tell them to listen to Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM. Help them before it's too late.
Bit of public service there. We don't run it too often, but it's essential. The voice of David Eagle there, one of the lead singers, of course, and performers with the Young'uns, who are actually sort of performing there. So
they've
done Steel Eye Span, Kate Rusby, and a whole heap of other things. So, Claire Margerison, as a fellow Yorkshire soul, Harrogate, what do you think? Should we check out the Beverley Racecourse, Beverley Folk Festival between June the 17th and 19th?
I definitely think so.
Claire is the most northern of the souls, apart from myself, actually, who's here. I mean, I don't know, Mary, if folk festivals in London, I suppose they have one or two of them, don't they?
Yeah, quite a few. It's all good.
Yeah.
But this one sounds special, so. Yeah.
And our Harwich representative, Hannah?
I don't think we've ever had a folk festival.
Never had a folk festival in Harwich.
At least to my knowledge.
Clearly, John Watterson is the person to actually sort of coordinate if you're looking for that point of view. Questions for yourself, Jane. Beverly Folk Festival, because I mean, you know, it's the team that sort of works through to put something like this together. It's quite a challenge, really.
Yeah, I was just going to say, really, sort of the number of people that you tend to get to it for the event, really, over the 3 days.
Over the 3 days, between 4,000 and 5,000.
Something small but perfectly formed, and the Spring Fest special full weekend deal is a mere £105. Oh, it's gone. The Spring Fest special has gone. It's no longer the 12th of April. Never mind. Are tickets still available, and can they actually go to beverlyfestival.com to find out how to
beverlyfestival.com, and we've changed the ticketing arrangements this year. We're putting 30% more onto the main stages for the same amount, for the same ticket price. There's a lot more going on. But the big change this year is that instead of buying individual tickets for individual concerts, so you'd say, well, I want to go to this at 2 o'clock, so I'm going to buy this, and then I want to go. We just adopted a sort of what we call a Disneyland principle, which is you buy a single ticket either for the weekend, the day, or a half-day session. And once you're in, you can then go to everything. So people can just turn up, and once they're inside the festival with the wristband, then everything is accessible. So we're hoping that this will open things up, and people will, instead of looking at the program and saying, oh, well, I want to go to A, B, and C, they'll come along and they'll just dip into everything, which is, you know, what I think a festival should be.
John, we appreciate your time this morning. Have you had a reasonably interesting link with us on the show from your own point of view? Has it been
it's
okay?
It's been absolutely super. Quite scary, because, yeah. You know, I didn't know what was going to come up here, but I think we've just about got away with it.
Well, you know, I know, Jane, it can be very awesome to actually come to in the first place, but, you know, thank you.
Thank you for being gentle with me, is all I'd say.
What do you think, Jane? Has he passed the test? Should we
invite
him back?
Oh, yes, definitely, and I hope it goes well for you.
Exactly. Thank you very, very much.
John, we salute you, and remember, the Beverly Folk Festival has some jazz in it too.
Oh yes.
Me on the corner, Lindisfarne. Well, I suppose it could be a lost kingdom in its own way, nicely off the British coast there. But if you happen to be one of the ace contributors and indeed head of the Americas section of the British Museum and have put so many other marvellous things together in search of lost kingdoms, and you're discovering lost kingdoms in Central America, etc., well, you can only be the true legend that is, and I say the word advisedly, yes, he is British. Our British answer to Indiana Jones. It's the fantastic Dr. Jago Cooper. How are you, sir?
That's quite the introduction.
This particular piece, which is taking place, obviously, in Darlington later on, where your wonderful talk, Discover Lost Kingdoms, is going to be taking place. Tremendous stuff. I mean, a couple of years ago, of course, 2012, the Mayan calendar, we celebrated it by doing 25 hours non-stop broadcasting. And
wow.
We saved the world. That's the important thing. You know, okay,
that's good.
That's right. But, you know, there is a whole range of things in terms of civilizations rising and falling and so on from that point of view. I mean, not only have you covered this with Lost Kingdoms of South America, Lost Kingdoms of Central America, Easter Island, Mysteries of a Lost World, the Inca, Masters of the Clouds. Have you always had this passion? And I mean, is it a case of, yes, just give Dr. Jago Cooper a fedora and a bullwhip and he will be Indy Jones?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been very lucky that I was blessed at a very young age knowing that what I wanted to do with my life. And I think that makes life a lot easier. So, yes, I've always wanted to work on the archaeology of Latin America. Mm. And so it's been a fascinating journey. But, yeah, I love it, and I still love it just as much as I did when I was a child.
You've worked, of course, with Tony Robinson and others, of course, co-presenter of the Channel 4 series Man on Earth from that perspective. Do you feel that we've lost more? I mean, have we forgotten more as a civilization? We always tend to think that humanity, we're going forward, we're progressing, we're working through that. And yet, have there been signs that, yes, civilizations do rise and then they fall again?
Yes, I absolutely do think that we've lost knowledge from the past, which is important. I think that, you know, as a society moving over the next 100 years, we face some pretty major challenges with our way of life. And there are so many interesting things we can learn from the societies that have risen and fallen in all parts of the world, and particularly the Americas, where so little is known about them, that we can learn. And it sort of, it shines a new light on how we live our lives today. It sort of holds up a mirror and lets us think about our own lives in a slightly different way.
Claire, thoughts from yourself?
I think it's really interesting to look at the ways in which other societies function. Is there any society that has risen and fallen which you think we should stay away from? We should definitely not do that.
Well, child sacrifice wouldn't necessarily be one I'd say is a good one for the Mayans, but
exactly. I think that everything has its sort of context, right? If people look at our society from the outside and never knew anything about British society, they'd find some things they found pretty distasteful, I'm sure, in their own way. But yes, I think that every society that's ever existed has had elements of it which should perhaps not be repeated. And if I was going to come up with a specific example, I think the Inca, you know, the Inca had a very, very interesting way of getting people to support their empire. You know, they were very diplomatic, but they could also be absolutely brutal. And yes, children could be sacrificed and people could be flayed alive in public, and that was a pretty brutal aspect. But what they did was manage to hold people together and include people's quality of life across the Andes in a way that has never been repeated. And today, you know, life in the Andes is much more disjointed and sort of disparate than it was during the time of the Inca in many, many areas.
Jane Southall, as director of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Showground, I don't think human sacrifice has ever actually come onto the agenda as sort of things to be discussed for, you know.
I don't know whether it would be a crowd puller.
I don't think so. We've got Elton John. We don't need the human sacrifice. Okay. Although he will sing sacrifice, I'm sure,
if you ask him. Oh, yes, he probably will. Yes, he got a bit of it, yes.
So does that. But thoughts from yourself, Jane? I mean, I'm blown away by this whole notion of time and et cetera.
Yeah, I suppose it's just really interesting, really. And you say what you said sometimes, I suppose it's whether we learn the things that have happened that shouldn't be repeated. We don't often learn from it, do we, in the past, really? So
no, absolutely. And there are, you know, and there are ways that we can sort of apply those ideas, you know, particularly in looking at how we feed ourselves and food and agriculture. You know, in different parts of the world, people have completely different ways that they produce the food that feeds society, and they can often be much more sustainable. And we can sort of think about those agricultural practices, and many, you know, different practices today, like permaculture and sort of urban agriculture, trying to bring food supplies from being grown in cities. They appear to be new ideas, but actually they've been around for millennia.
And they're actually saying as well, aren't they, that we're not going to have enough food to feed the world unless we change what we're doing.
Exactly, yeah, that's really, I mean, like population increase, another 2 billion people in the next 100 years, that's a lot of people on the planet. Yeah. And our food supplies are much more centralised now. They come through one location, often through a supermarket.
Yes.
And, you know, particularly where I work often in the Caribbean, you know, they rely on food being flown in to the island.
Yes.
And so if the airport gets knocked out by hurricane, or, you know, the supermarket goes belly up, then suddenly that puts a lot of people in a vulnerable place. So, yeah, thinking about food security is a very interesting issue and a pressing one for everyone.
It is, yeah.
There's a wonderful, almost Machiavellian subtext to the descriptor for Discover Lost Kingdoms, obviously, at the Central Hall Dolphin Centre, Darlington, on Monday the 25th of April, which is, what is the real secret to gaining and holding on to power in any society? If you're Donald Trump, please tune out now. But is that Machiavelli, sort of from ancient times?
I think it is. I mean, so that's specifically about some of the content in the lecture, which will talk about the Olmec, which are the people who developed the oldest artistic traditions in the Americas. And particularly they're famous for these giant stone heads that appeared in these plazas at the very first cities in the Americas. And I think that the point is that, yes, there is a connection between how leaders in society choose to portray themselves, their image. And there's a mythology which is created around that image, which is used to underpin their power. And that's equally applicable to the Olmec of 3,000 years ago as it is to Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump has his image, and he puts his big head into many places, just like the Olmec did. And it's sort of the mythology which people create around them that underpins their power. And in Trump's case, it's, you know, his economic achievements and his prowess that he can turn around America and make it great again, to quote his slogans. And the Olmec had a slightly different. Theirs was they underpin their power by accessing trade routes and bringing in materials from different parts of the world that the people in the Olmec region had never seen before. And that was the what underpinned their power. So I think that, yes, there are direct parallels, ironically, the Olmec 3,000 years ago and Donald Trump.
Well, there you are. You see, you didn't think we'd draw that connection at 9:25 on a Thursday morning in the whole system. Hannah, thoughts from yourself? Any questions on this sort of thing? Are you ancient civilizations and so on?
Well, I do have an interest in history. I'm mostly more like look at myself in modern history, but I do love the idea of these ancient civilizations that really we don't know a lot about. And as inquisitive, it always raises so many questions like, what do they do, you know, everyday life, and then what eventually happened to them? Why did they disappear? That's, the, I feel like, the big question.
There was a line, Jago, for a time where I thought it was what led to their demise, and I suppose the simplistic answer was, well, it was the Spanish. Typical, you know, they go over there and they sort of do all sorts of things, etc., and it's a kingdom of the sun and so on. Then there was the notion that, well, maybe it was a flu bug that they brought over from the Europeans, and you have, probably from a science fiction perspective, the line that whenever you get a more advanced civilization coming into contact with a conceivably less advanced, and these terms are relative, civilization, then you're going to have unfortunate situations occurring. I mean, any thoughts from yourself, Jago, in terms of this?
Yes, I mean, the arrival of the Spanish in the Americas is a fundamental changing point in the history of both continents. And funnily enough, in the second half of the lecture, I will talk a little bit directly about this, because I'm currently working on a fieldwork project on an uninhabited island called Mona Island in the Caribbean. And there we have evidence of the first generations of European arriving in the Caribbean. And we can see the direct relationship between the indigenous population who was living there and the first generations of European arriving. And so we can start to see the dynamics about how those people directly interact and the actual evidence of it. And I think that the key point is that it's, yes, it's a clash. Yes, there's some major traumas which go on. But what the interesting thing is that a new cultural identity is formed that builds on both a European and an indigenous heritage. And so you can start to see the process by which a new American identity is created. And that process is what then goes on to form American identities throughout Latin America and North America. And it is what we would call in academia a creolization, it's the mixing of different heritages. And it's interesting to see that process in action on the ground in a few caves, actually, where we've been finding this evidence.
Mary.
I am having a field day listening to you, because this is exactly what my dissertation was partly about.
We like to fit the student with the teacher, they're
so excited when you said it. I was doing post-colonial literature in the Caribbean for my dissertation with some of the books as well. So I find that fascinating. Is there any way that I can find out more? And I want to. Is there an exhibition coming up about this?
There's obviously the postgraduate work coming across here for Mary Dancer. You could be her mentor, Jago.
That sounds fun. I mean, I think this is the second half. Then will be right up your street. And yes, it'll be coming out in publication later this year, and it'll probably make a bit of a splash on the public consciousness. It is a really interesting discovery. Basically, we're deep inside some caves here. And there's in the dark zone, so there's no natural light, about sort of like a couple hundred meters from the nearest cave entrance. And there are these chambers which are covered in pre-Columbian rock art and iconography. And inside there, then we've got sort of like interesting evidence of interactions going on that we can start to unpick and translate. And so actually, funnily enough, literature, in a way, I'm an archaeologist, normally used to digging up objects, but this is quite, literature in a way, because people are writing on the walls.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely superb. Jago, it's been a fantastic joy to be connecting with your good self. A reminder, of course, that this coming Monday, the 25th of April, you'll be in Darlington at the Central Hall Dolphin Centre, Darlington. £12? Surely there's a decimal point out here. It should be at least £120. Truly wonderful. Central Hall Dolphin Centre, Darlington, on Monday. And I still have to say that the 2012 book, Surviving Sudden Environmental Change, Answers from Archaeology, is indeed one of the outstanding examples of thinking big. So it's great stuff there. Jago, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It's been absolutely wonderful chatting with you, and I'm very looking forward to travelling north next week.
A round of applause, please, for Jago Cooper. And can we prevail upon your good self to hopefully join us again as the year proceeds and keep us updated with all these sort of things? Will you keep
anytime you like? Anytime you like.
And I just can't resist this. I know as Jane begins to sort of head off into the sunset, and that silver ball comes crashing down. I just go, Jago, go.
Take care.
And after the excitement of Dr. Jago Cooper, we move into a wonderful phrase. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy whenever Sarah moves in the spotlight. Sarah is the woman who men aspire to be and women dream about. Confident, alluring, and with a voice known to tame the wildest of animals, she is the personification of feminine charm. Armed with the strength and flexibility of 1,000 warriors, Sarah is the front and centre and coherent chimera of the group Lover. And she's with us now. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, thank you. How are you doing?
Well, when we've got somebody as auspicious as your good self there with the whole sort of...
Well, thanks for that.
Tremendous, tremendous. Of course, let's not forget Jamie, Andy, Florence, Matt and Casper either, because obviously you work together as a seamless team, but you're here...
Yep, we're a family.
Tremendous, like the human family. Introductions to the team, of course, we have in the studio Hannah Brown...
Hello.
Mary
Dancy.
Hello.
And
hey, Mary.
Claire Margerison.
Hi.
Hey, Claire.
In their own way, warrior women, in every sense of the word from that point of view. Claire, any questions you'd like to put to Sarah about Lover before we listen to We Are Stars?
Yeah, I guess, how did you sort of come about as a band?
Right, well, some of the guys in the band were in a previous band that broke up around December time. And they had loads of really great songs, and the management were like, no, we have to do this. We have to keep pushing forward and make this album. So they found me online. I think it was on YouTube, maybe. Brought me in, and that's been it. I've been with them for about 4 months, and we have already recorded an album, and everything's been moving pretty fast.
We're going to listen to this in a few seconds, but I do love the way in which 2016 is the year Lover decide whether you're allowed to be a part of their world or not. Yeah, that's
exactly.
None of this kind of, oh, will they play us, will they not? We're going to decide which radio stations we go to. We're going to work through that with a morbid longing for the picturesque at all costs. Are you ready to explore life no one thought could exist outside literature? Yes, I'm looking at you, English graduates, to be. Where dissatisfaction is bohemian and vaguely Marxist in origin, Lover are here to show you the beauty in the darkness. Sarah, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us, I know you're heading off shortly afterwards, but we'd like to share the joy of We Are Stars. I think we're ready for this. Sarah, are you ready for this?
I am absolutely ready for this.
Integrity is so passive, the fashion still succeeds. Ooh.
stars. And if they wish upon our image wishes, well, they might. Twisted in their cotton sheets and digging through the night, they're wishing on.
Available on iTunes now. We Are Stars. A round of applause, please.
Yay! Although it has to be said, Sarah, that I think the beard you're sporting in the Lover Musician Band album on Facebook is maybe. I don't know.
The beard.
The beard.
Do you not like the beard?
I love it. I think it's
I love it. I think why not? Who said no, you know?
Facebook.com/lovertheband is the best way to go on Facebook. Is there a website as well that you'd like to share with us, Sarah?
Yeah, loverband.com. Check it out. Twitter as well.
It's all there. 6 days, six band members. Can't be a coincidence, is what lies to. So what's happening in these 6 days then?
It's 6 days. Well, we're touring with Earl Slick, which is going to be insane, next week. For his tour Station to Station. So we're there next week with him. We've got the single out in May and the album late July and a couple of festivals going on. So we are busy. Good times ahead.
Well, exactly. You put out those good times and good times will manifest for you. It's very
important. Exactly.
Claire, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I really liked that. Do you write all your own music yourself as a band, or is it sort of a one person writes the music, one person writes the lyrics, or how does it work?
Yeah, well, I mean, on the album, we've got various different people writing. So we've got some of us in the band write, some of the management. We've also got Terry Edwards. He's on the PJ Harvey album at the minute, and he's touring with her. Very cool guy. So he writes some of our music as well, which is amazing. So it's like a combined effort. Everyone writes, everyone has a voice in this album, in the song.
Of course, inevitably the question is going to be asked, look, it's all very well going off on these tours, but what about little old Lincoln? Well, that city in the East Midlands of England, you know, as well, Teesside and various other sort of actors. So.
You know, look, we can come to Lincoln. We can come to Lincoln.
Yeah.
If people want, then, you know, we'll think about it.
So that's the way, they might not decide whether Lover and Lincoln couldn't fit together like two letters in the alphabet.
I think so.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, it's tremendous. Mary, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I really loved the song. I thought it was really beautiful and you have an amazing voice. With, like, I suppose, the story of it, was there a particular, like, a story behind the song?
Well, the thing is with this song, I mean, with all the songs as well, there is a story, but we've all got our own take on it.
Yeah.
And that's the way we wanted to continue the album as well. You know, it's not just crystal clear one thing is happening. Many things, so it's really an individual thing to figure out what you want from it, really.
It could, of course, be classified as cosmology in action, really. Yes. I mean, we are all star stuff. We have come from the creatures of stars. We are some of the things that hydrogen atoms can evolve into, given several billion years of evolution.
I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to use that and trade that off as my own quote. Thanks very much.
Sarah, we always like to make sure that when folk come onto the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, they're left with a little bit more. You know, we're not like other stations that just sort of just plug the single and the band, etc. We want to be a bit more than that, a bit more rounded stuff. Hannah?
I quite enjoyed it, yeah. It's very different. I can't really think of much of the music I've heard like that. So what sort of sound would you say you have?
Well, I always say, I mean, we're arty pop rock.
Okay.
That's how I describe us, because, yeah, it's
very
different.
Yeah, that's good.
So, I'm sensing a slight sort of variation of Saint Etienne coming in there at times. Other sort. As you said, a cross between the song you can't get out of your head and something you've never heard before but are desperate to hear again. Lover will stimulate your oral senses with music from the depths of humanity. Yeah, that's a little thing. Depths of ourselves, and the depths of dark and heated and twisted condition, actually. It's amazing. As I say, you'll find everything was grey before discovering this band. Now grey is blue and lines are blurred. It sounds as though we've been on an audio trip. It's astounding. And we still haven't finished the programme. We're going to feature Roxanne DeBastien in a few moments. Sarah, it's been fabulous touching base with your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting debut on the programme today?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fabulous. Thanks, guys. Great way to set up the day.
Well, we are always available for helping set up the day because it's part and parcel of our job and duty on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition Thursdays to work our way through that. Other days, obviously, are available. But, you know, we've only 168
our
hours
best.
In the week.
Our
well, I couldn't possibly comment. So I take it you'll be able to join us again in the not-too-distant future, armed with the strength and flexibility of 1,000 warriors, Sarah?
Absolutely. I'll be there in full uniform.
In my hometown, they've dismantled the wall. Off the pieces one by one, forgotten are the words written into stone. For what are they worth against the housing loan? It's only wasteland. On the pavements, they've installed the machines. 1,000 glassy eyes staring at me. Today I'd rather not be seen by anyone, for I do not know what I have become. Fluffing up the pillows so no one can tell you're lying where I once took my final stride. Face down in the mud, heading for the other side. It's only wasteland, only wasteland. To
let's go straight into a round of applause. Yay! Probably my favourite of the day so far, it has to be said, from a young lady who effectively came up with the quote, change is good and necessary, but sometimes the motivation behind it is highly questionable.
Mm. I like that.
Not sure whether she actually realised she was actually doing a radio interview when we first phoned this morning, but she's here now. She's a fantastic individual. Roxanne DeBastian, welcome to the production. How are you?
Hi, I'm well, thanks.
Delighted.
How are you?
Very good. Delighted to touch base with you. And an outstanding tune there, Wasteland. I'll introduce you to the team. We have Claire Margerison, who also has some Germanic background.
I do. Hello.
Yeah, exactly.
Or even cool. Hi, Claire.
Guten Morgen. We have the wonderful Mary Dancy.
Hello.
Who's been celebrating her 21st all week. 24, it's like the pinnacle. Yeah, building up on that. Exactly.
Not one day, all week.
Exactly. And Hannah Brown, who's just
an all-round good soul, basically. So there we are. From that point of view. Claire, do you want to start off with Wasteland? I'm not sure whether... is there a T.S. Eliot link here? Or maybe not. Go for it.
I thought that was an absolutely beautiful track. And I've been reading about you, and you are a massive advocate of kind of creativity and people, the arts community and that sort of thing. I just guess I'd ask, what do you think is the best way for people, younger people especially, to get into the arts and to sort of explore that area?
Oh, well, thank you very much for the kind words. There are a lot of young people that have never been to a live show, so which always makes me quite sad. So like, firstly, I'd just, you know, encourage parents to take their kids to art exhibitions, take their kids to live music, to just exposed from a young age. And it really has to be, I don't know, it makes me really sad that it's always the first thing to get cut from schools as well. So even for me growing up, I had to choose whether I wanted to continue with art or music. Yeah, that's like, education is the biggest thing, I think.
Very nice, thank you.
When you actually decided to pack up your bags and take a one-way ticket to London in 2007, that's quite a leap of faith. Was it a case of you felt, no, London is the place to go to? I mean, particularly when you have that Berlin background, because there are folk, and I include Tallulah Randall amongst them, who actually say, no, Berlin's the happening place. We should actually sort of work in Berlin, or possibly Lincoln, either of those two.
Well, it was a combination of things. I think, firstly, it was just having to make my own way and go somewhere else, because that's important, especially like my home life was very comfortable and I just finished school. I always knew that I wanted to make music, so I just felt I had to sort of remove myself from my comfort zone, if that makes sense. And also, Berlin's a great place. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of music going on, but I felt at the time for the kind of music I was making, especially, you know, the lyrics always mean a lot to me, and I just felt that I had to be somewhere. I just had to play them to an English-speaking audience.
Excellent. RoxanneDeBastien.com, of course, is the go-to website with all sorts of marvellous things to find there, thoughts and views and so on. Hannah, your own perspectives here.
Well, I really enjoyed that song. It was very nice. Almost had like a lullaby feel to it, which
prepares you for
the early morning.
Shorthand, really.
Yeah, you know, putting me to sleep before having to wake up. But yeah, it... obviously that's quite a contrast to the message you're putting through, but which adds to it. I felt it was a very good song.
And Mary,
I really loved it. I've also got this one on my playlist already, and I really like Rerun as well. I thought that was a brilliant song too, so I was really excited for when you were coming on today. But yeah, I suppose I love London. I'm from London as well, and I really, really love it. I think there's so much culture, and like, and I agree with you what you were saying before about how education kind of limits for the creative side. And I remember my dad taking me to like Tate Gallery to do some drawing or something when I was 5. So yeah, I think you definitely need to like really immerse yourself. And I think London's a brilliant place to, you know, pick up all of those extra cultural and creative bits and bobs. So yeah, no.
And the question remains, as you've noted, Roxanne, how important is music and art in general when it comes to city planning? Can a single song, a single artist's voice help to refocus our priorities? Of course, one person can make a difference. We've just demonstrated that. Roxanne, as we said, the single is available and everything else is working through there. Are plans for a broader tour? Will you be sort of going on tour with the sequence? What sort of things will be occupying your mind over 2016?
Just done a run of dates through the UK, and actually starting today I'm going on another tour, but as an opening act I'm going on tour supporting a US artist called Hayes Carl. So tour kicks off in London and then takes me across the country up to Glasgow and Newcastle. All the dates are on the website. And then hopefully I'll be recording a second album.
Oh, very nice.
That's what we're waiting for, exactly. We can't wait, but you know, we know that quality will actually be worth the wait, because that's important for that point of view. Roxanne, it's been fabulous touching base with your good self today. Any particular Beatles tune that you'd like us to sort of see if we've got in the system for you?
Oh, that's such a great question. How lovely, thank you. I'd be happy with any of them. How about a John Lennon-led track? Have you got any of them?
Yeah, I think we could actually do the ballad of, we could do the ballad of John and Yoko if you wish. I mean, would that be sort of okay for yourself?
Yeah, yeah, great song. Thank you very much.
As we know it, easy from that point of view, but we have to keep on going. So two final questions for you, Roxanne. Have you had an okay telephonic link with us today? Has it been good for you?
Yes, it has. It's been a great telephonic link.
See, this is because I knew initially when we spoke, I thought Roxanne doesn't realise that, you know, we're doing radio. Yes.
Was that at least like a bit rock and roll?
I'm very impressed, Roxanne. You know, it's great. You know, it's the sort of thing we've Manila PR have the excellence of that in hand. It's always good. We knew that always well. So can we prevail upon you to join us?
They did tell me though. I did know.
Okay, I take it then. Will you be able to rejoin us and connect again as you sort of continue your tour and keep us appraised of the magical things that you're doing? Will you return?
Yeah, absolutely, of course.
A round of applause for Roxanne de Bastion, please. Oh, splendid stuff. And cue John Lennon, methinks.
Standing in the dockets of Hampton, trying to get to Holland.
Thank you, Hannah Brown, for actually being part of the Mary Dancy birthday show. You're right at the start, staying all the way through it, coordinating things, presenting stuff. People don't realise, including John Wenham, just how much sort of, you know, effort it takes to get that thing sort of through the planning structure. It's amazing. Thanks also to Gabriella Peralta, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Dr. Jago Cooper, Sarah, didn't find out her surname, but from the band Lover. John Watterson from the Beverly Folk Festival, a little bit of jazz in there as well. And Roxanne de Bastion from Wasteland. Thanks to Emma Tinson, to Tessa Snart, and to, of course, Jane Southall, and to Claire Margerison. And thank you, Mary Dancy, for obviously, because at the end of the day,
my birthday show.
Well, there you are, you and Her Majesty the Queen. Just enough time to actually mention that if you want details about John Wenham's events diary, go to the sirenonline.co.uk website. But we will sneak in the Lincoln Theatre Royal. There is a wonderful event on the 28th of April at 7:30 p.m. It's the All Stars Stand Up Tour. That's the All Stars Stand Up Tour on the 28th of April at 7:30, Lincoln Theatre Royal. That's it. Great stuff coming through. Later on today, Inspired on Air gets its April airing just after 7 o'clock, when the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre takes centre stage, and we'll also have musician Elliot Morris performing, plus a range of other things, and a live interview with Sarah Bullimore as well.
Exciting.
Oh, it's great stuff. So Hannah, back again next week?
Yes, I will be. I'll be here.
Well done. And Claire?
I will be here.
There we are. We will hopefully be doing something along the lines of Harrogate Spring Flower Show this weekend.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Well, of course, you know, to celebrate the Harrogate Spring Flower Show, Claire decides to go to London.
Hopeless. You know, hopeless.